the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Old Testament reading for the festival of the Holy Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What is God like? Yes, what is God like? Being asked this question, I am assuming that your first inclination is probably not to recite and share the Athanasian Creed, what we just confessed today in our service. Yes, I assume that you are not thinking about answering this question of what God is like by reciting a long creed, this long creed that we did confess as a part of our service this morning. But rather, if you are asked this question, you are most likely thinking about ways to define God, maybe using a metaphor or a simile, or maybe using some sort of example to explain who God is. But there's a problem. There's a problem. No matter how we try to define God or visualize God, we can only partly understand God. The reason why? We, yes, you and me, we together, as well as our neighbors, we are small and we are mortal. We die. Whereas God is infinite and big and immortal. In other words, God is not like a product that we can hold in our hands and examine. He is not like some sort of product or thing we can put underneath a microscope and fine-tune and then write a review and analyze and dissect him in order to completely comprehend him with our naked eye. No way, my friends. No how. We are not big enough. We are not smart enough or supreme enough to be able to put God into our hands and then think that we can fully grasp and understand the depths of who God is. Frankly stated, we are supremely arrogant if we think that we can fully discover the mysteries of God. So, what do we know about God then by our natural reasoning? Well, we can glean several things about who God is just from our natural reasoning. We can look to this world that we live in and we can see the fingerprints of God, the Creator in nature, and our ecosystem. We are not here because of an evolutionary mutation or a biological accident, that is for sure. We can examine our own bodies and conclude by looking to our own bodies and seeing the complexity of our own bodies that there's evidence that we have been knit together in our mother's womb by someone greater than ourselves. Simply stated, by viewing the beauty of creation and the complexity of life, how wondrously constructed and wisely arranged everything is, a person cannot help but conclude that all of this is not the handiwork of mankind or the byproduct of chance, but the work of God. Only the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now, considering this, if God is the creator and master of all that there is, the creator of mankind, the creator of the world and the universe, we can therefore conclude that we're nothing more than a small drop in the bucket. I mean, compared to God, we are nothing more than just a small drop in the bucket. Compared to the grand scheme of things, we are nothing more than a small pawn. Or we could say that we are nothing more than a small insect compared to God. Indeed, if God holds the world in his hands, in comparison to the majestic God, we are nothing more than small, tiny insects that inhabit this earth. No wonder why we can't fully fathom and understand God. No wonder why we live in fear of God's wrath as human beings. We are afraid of being crushed. We humans, though, we can try and offset our fear of God and our tininess in the face of God through acting big and tough and unafraid. We can construct our buildings, we can create our nations, and we can puff up our chests and stand tall. However, we are all wiped to dust when earthquakes and floods and hurricanes destroy us in the snap of a finger. We are here today, and we're gone tomorrow. Civilizations, they are built up and they rise from the depths of the earth on the back of hard work and majestic kings. However, the next century, they fall apart, only to be remembered in the pages of dusty books lying on shelves. So, what is God like? Well, God is not like us, and apart from owing our own existence to God, we find ourselves living in fear of God. Because he is big and we are small, he is in charge, and you and I, we are not. But certainly, we should be able to know more about God than just this, right? That is the problem, though. How can we know more about God when we are like a bunch of tiny insects trying to understand one who is bigger, one who is grander, one who is more supreme than we can comprehend? How do we wrap our minds around one who is infinite? Now, dear friends, I do not say this to be mean. I do not say this to be rude or to cause you discomfort, but you and I, we cannot comprehend God. Our minds are too small, our vision is too weak, our arms are too short to wrap around God, which leaves us with the limited understanding that we have been created and that we should be afraid of God, and that is about it. All this stated, though, there is another way. Yes, there is another way. Yes, there's another way for us to understand and know God. That is to say, instead of us trying to get to know God on our own terms and by our own efforts and by our own limited intellectual reasoning, what if God came to us? What if he came to us and he revealed himself to us? My dear friends, this is what God did. He came to us. So when we ask the question, what is God like? Our answer is this, that God is like Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, God is like Jesus of Nazareth. In Jesus, we have a man who claimed to be God, said things that only God said and would say, did things that only God can do, and accepted worship that belongs to God alone. Yes, Jesus is God confronting you and me. Yes, Jesus is God confronting humankind as a man. Jesus is God expressed in human terms. To know Jesus is to know God. This changes everything, does it not? God became man. He became one of us, and he dwelt in our midst. He taught, and he lived, and he moved among us, which means that we can behold his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. As we behold God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, what should then grasp us then is that this God-man, Jesus Christ, did not come to be served by us insignificant peons, but rather he served who? You and me. He served us. He served us by going to Mount Calvary. And now do not look over this too quickly. The God of the universe, yes, the God of the universe who holds this universe in his hands, the God of the universe died for ungodly people like you and like me. And he considered it well worthwhile. He died for sinners. Indeed, Jesus, he gives us the answer of what God is like. He shows us that God is holy and God is just, and he is also merciful and forgiving. Jesus shows us that God does not take sin lightly, yet still cares for us because he chose to do something about that very sin. It's called the cross, where forgiveness was accomplished. Furthermore, and towards the theme of our service this morning of Holy Trinity Sunday, Jesus also shows us that God is triune. Yes, from Jesus we hear about the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God now and forevermore. Not three gods and not three substances, but three persons. Now, I would be lying to you if I said that this is easy for us to understand, for it certainly is not. Again, we're back to where we were before. As mere mortals, we cannot totally understand the complexities of God. However, we confess these complexities of God as true because Jesus confesses them as true, and Jesus is right because Jesus rose from the dead. That is to say, there is no heavenly Father for us other than the heavenly Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is also no other Holy Spirit for us other than the Holy Spirit that is sent by Jesus. Now, what this all means for us this morning on this Trinity Sunday is not that it is necessary to wrap our finite minds around the nature of God, to figure him out and to domesticate him, but rather to know that God, as revealed by Jesus and the Scriptures, is living and active for you and for your salvation. That is to say, for today's Trinity Sunday service, we do not confess the Athanasian Creed, the doctrine of the Trinity, for the sake of merely saying it, but we use this doctrine properly when we believe and know that our triune God is active for us. All three persons active for you and active for me. Indeed, today we have heard from the lessons and the readings and the prayers that our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is alive and active towards us. So, dear baptized saints, consider this. You were baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. One name, yes, one name, three persons who are active for you and for your good. God the Father, he created you. He has given you your body, and he preserves you. He provides for you and protects you from all evil. All of this is done out of fatherly and divine goodness, without any worthiness of our own. God the Son has redeemed you, a lost and condemned human person. He has purchased you and freed you from all sin and from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, in his innocence, suffering, and death. He has done this in order that you may belong to him and live under him in his kingdom. And God the Spirit, yes, God the Spirit has called you. He has called you through the gospel. He has enlightened you with his gifts, and he has made you holy and kept you in the true faith in the Christian church. the Holy Spirit abundantly forgives you of your sins through the word and the sacraments. And then on the last day, you can surely know that he will raise you and all the dead to everlasting life. Truly, our triune God reveals himself in the word. We cannot understand him by our own reason and strength, but he makes himself known to us, and he shows us what he is like and gives to us what is Christ, what Christ has accomplished for us. So today, we confess. We confess as a church. We confess as baptized believers, baptized members of the church. We confess and believe upon God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forevermore, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.